Walk right on, written and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. Drowland frantically tries to avoid whatever it is the Deasing Wren throws at him. Some kind of power, but they haven't figured out exactly what it does yet. He already knows that he's too late, but he can't just stay still and wait for the inevitable. It feels like something cracks inside him, warmth flooding through his body, and for a moment he could swear time stops. And then Drowland is changing. He's never done this before. He didn't think he could. He's only half dragon, and there's no guarantee that he'd inherited the dragon part. There's been no one to teach him how to even try, so he'd mostly just dismissed the whole idea. Not that he had much choice. And still, somehow, he knows exactly what's happening. There's a brief moment of weightlessness, and a burst of Deasing power, whatever it is, sails right past him, not even singeing his scales. Drowland feels a brief surge of triumph, and then, suddenly, he's falling. And falling. A panicked screech comes out of his mouth, and he tries to do something. Anything. He's supposed to be able to do something. For a heartbeat, he thinks he's managing it. That feeling of weightlessness there again for just a moment, before it's gone again. The only thing he manages is to slow down his fall a bit. There's a sudden blur of black and Drowland is caught. It takes a moment to recover from suddenly not hurtling towards the ground anymore. He just hangs there limply, his heart beating so very fast, except who knows how fast it's supposed to be beating right now. It takes another few moments to realize that that Ching is holding him, in his mouth. Drowland is small enough for a cat to carry him in his mouth. He tries to tell that Ching to let him down, but all that comes out of his mouth is this weird little chirp. He tries again, and the same thing happens. Panic starts clawing its way up through him. Dragons are supposed to know how to talk. His mom had definitely talked the few times he'd seen her as a dragon, but a Drowland can't. He makes a few panicked warbles, and that just makes the panic worse, words still refusing to come out of his mouth. He squirms in that Jing's hold until the cat has to put him down on the ground. "Calm down, kid," that Jing says, sounding just the way he usually does when Drowland is being particularly annoying. Somehow, that makes him feel a bit better. He takes a deep breath and tries to calm down. He can do this. He just needs to do whatever he did to turn into a dragon, but the other way around, and they can all just put this behind them. Except, Drowland doesn't know what he did, and having a Deasing Wren throw some unnamed powers at him to see if it'll scare him into another spontaneous transformation is probably not a good idea. Speaking of which, the Deasing Wren, he was just... Drowland looks around frantically, except he's not used to everything being so big, and it's harder than you'd think to figure out what's happening around him. "Boss?" Lin Jing asks, sounding worried. Drowland turns his head that way and... Okay, Lin Jing is huge, and Drowland has a sudden urge to hide behind that Jing. Okay. He flops down against the ground before he does anything weird, and doesn't even try to say anything because it'd just come out as something unintelligible anyway. He's suddenly feeling very thankful that Ching is sticking to cat size. "I'll deal with this," that Ching says, still sounding kind of annoyed. "You just go help Lao Chu catch that guy." Right. Chu Shuzhe would be around here somewhere too. And apparently the Deasing Wren had gotten away. When Lin Jing doesn't immediately do what Da Qing tells him to, Da Qing hisses at him, and oh, Da Qing sounds angry, Drowland thinks, and the next thing he knows he's wriggled himself a bit closer and is pressing himself against Da Qing's front legs, like that might somehow help. "Just go," Da Qing says shortly, and then looks down at Drowland. He pokes his nose at the side of Drowland's head. "I'll figure this out, kid. I'll be fine." It occurs to Drowland that it's been quite a while since Da Qing has called him that. Da Qing turns human-shaped, but he still smells like Da Qing, and he's holding Drowland very carefully and isn't letting go, and it's fine. Drowland thought it was going to be worse, but it isn't. He's not sure where that thing is taking him, and he can't really ask right now. All the strange smells and noises are making Jiaolan a bit nervous. His muscles are coiled tight, and he's been tense for so long that it's starting to hurt. He tries to loosen his muscles by sheer willpower, but it's like he has no idea how his own body works suddenly. Well, he doesn't, really, but making himself not resemble a coiled spring shouldn't be that hard. Suddenly, they're somewhere where there's less noise. And some seemingly new part of Jiaolan thinks, home, warm, safe. He doesn't know how he knows, but they're definitely at home. He feels his body loosening, and suddenly he's lying like some limp noodle in Da Qing's hands. He'd try to look around, but that would require lifting his head, and that seems like a lot of effort. Da Qing sets him down on the bed, and before he can stop himself, a small worried chirp makes it out of Jiaolan's mouth. Da Qing is too far away, and Jiaolan doesn't know how to get down from the bed. But then, the next moment Da Qing is back, the black cat nosing at him before lying down next to him. Jiaolan feels so relieved he kind of forgets to breathe for a moment, until he feels a bit dizzy and suddenly gulps in a lungful of air. He's being ridiculous. He can totally manage without his cat there to literally hold him. Da Qing makes an annoyed little huff, and then grabs Jiaolan by the scruff of his neck and drags him closer. Jiaolan makes a small noise of protest. He doesn't need to be dragged around. He can move on his own. Da Qing lets him go with a snort, and Jiaolan manages to get his feet under him and sort of waddles closer to the cat. The bed isn't the easiest surface to walk on, okay? It's only a couple of steps anyway, and then he's pressed against Da Qing's fur. Jiaolan turns his head back to glare at his tail, which seems to not be working with him here. Before he can figure out how to move that part of his body closer, Da Qing gently reaches out with a paw and does it for him. Jiaolan decides not to comment, especially when Da Qing kind of curls around him and starts purring. For a while, both of them just lie there. Slowly, Jiaolan starts feeling a bit more like himself and less like a tiny panicked dragon, even if he's still definitely a tiny dragon. You don't know how to turn back, do you? Da Qing asks after some time, the purring having slowly faded away. Jiaolan frowns and then shakes his head a little. He really has no idea what he'd done in the first place. He remembers the feeling of it vividly, but he has no idea how to make it happen again. Clearly, panic isn't the answer, even though he's pretty sure that's what had made him change the first time. Well, the good news is, you did get your mom's whole dragon thing, Da Qing says, sounding just a bit amused. So far, he's mostly sounded either worried or annoyed, so Jiaolan will take amusement, even if it is at his expense. He huffs and pokes his head at Da Qing. Hey! Careful with the horns, Da Qing yelps, but he doesn't even move away, so whatever Jiaolan did probably didn't actually hurt. He tries to look up, but he can't exactly see the top of his head, and remains sadly clueless as to what kind of horns he actually has. He pokes Da Qing again, just because he can. Da Qing makes an offended noise and pushes his head away with a paw, and Jiaolan has to stop, because he still hasn't figured out all the intricacies of how his body actually moves. Well, no time like the present, he thinks, and with just a bit of effort gets his feet under him. At least walking shouldn't be hard to get the hang of. Da Qing just lies there watching him, as Jiaolan walks in small circles, occasionally trying to swing his tail about. It makes him overbalance a bit, and he has to stop for a moment to right himself, before trying to do it again. Okay, he can totally do this. Oh, hey, pas sûr, Da Qing suddenly exclaims, like that's some kind of revelation. Jiaolan stops to look at him, trying on a questioning look, but who knows what his face currently looks like. He'll know how to, you know, Da Qing says, so maybe his expressions are still working like they should, even if the answer isn't really all that informative. Jiaolan wants to tell Da Qing that he really doesn't want the Black Cloaked Envoy involved. They've managed fine without him so far, and this isn't exactly how Jiaolan wants to meet him for the first time. He opens his mouth, and what comes out is this slow, drawn-out squeak. He growls in frustration, and then startles as the sound vibrates through his whole body. Da Qing has the audacity to laugh at him. Just stay here, and don't fall off the bed. I need to make a phone call, Da Qing says, and in the next moment the cat has jumped off the bed. Jiaolan feels a moment of panic before he takes a firm grip on himself. Da Qing hasn't even left the apartment, and Jiaolan is totally fine here on his own bed. He flops down against the bed, not feeling like trying to move around anymore. His tail coils up close to his head. Oh, right, that's how it works. Jiaolan sticks his head under his own tail. Da Qing gets back to snuggle with Jiaolan until there's a knock on the door. He has to turn human shape to actually open it, and this time Jiaolan watches him. It's gotten a bit easier to make sense of things, like figuring out how his own body works has given him some reference to the rest of the world too. Jiaolan has no idea how that'd work, but as long as he can actually figure out what's happening around him, he doesn't really care how it happened. He's more than a bit surprised when Da Qing lets Lao Li inside their home. But then again, who else would Da Qing trust at the SID? Do you have it? Da Qing asks, somewhat impatiently. Yes, of course, Lao Li answers calmly, and then holds out something to Da Qing that's a bit too small for Jiaolan to make out from this far away. Okay, so he still needs to put in some work on figuring out what the world looks like. Da Qing waves a hand and then turns around to walk back towards Jiaolan. Jiaolan is definitely not relieved by that. Just find somewhere to put it and light it, will you? Da Qing says, transforming and jumping up to join Jiaolan on the bed. I'm not sure I should be the one, Lao Li says, hesitating a bit. It's fine, Da Qing interrupts, poking his nose at Jiaolan's side before lying down, and sort of tucking Jiaolan under his chin. It's not like he'll know who lit it. Lao Li sighs, but doesn't offer any further objections. It's only when he actually lights the incense, and Jiaolan sees the smoke curling up into the air, that he realizes that they're summoning the black-cloaked envoy. He makes an entirely involuntary little squeak, and Da Qing lowers his head a little, his chin pressing down against Jiaolan's head. Apparently, his horns aren't a problem now, Jiaolan thinks a bit wildly. He's really, really not sure about this summoning the black-cloaked envoy plan. And then it's already too late, because there's fog rolling in from under Jiaolan's door and a chill in the air that makes him huddle in a bit closer to Da Qing. And then Lao Li has to open the door for the black-cloaked envoy, which really seems a bit anticlimactic. Jiaolan bites back a small laugh. Who knows what kind of noise that would come out as. The black-cloaked envoy strides in and then stops quite abruptly, either from surprise at being summoned into some random home, or because there's so much crap on the floor that striding really isn't something anyone can do. Or possibly a bit of both. Suddenly, Jiaolan feels the black-cloaked envoy looking at him. He can't actually tell if he is or not, but he can feel the weight of the black-cloaked envoy's stare against his scales. It kind of makes him want to squirm, but he steels himself and stays still. Maybe he's just imagining things. It's been a long fucking day. Or maybe it's some weird dragon thing that Jiaolan has no idea how it works because he's never done this before. There's a growl from Da Qing, his chest vibrating against Jiaolan, his hair standing up. It definitely jolts Jiaolan back into the moment. He pokes a front leg at Da Qing's paw, because however Jiaolan might have normally acted on first meeting the black-cloaked envoy, right now he's feeling very tiny and defenseless, and he can't even fucking talk. Growling at the black-cloaked envoy doesn't seem like the best of ideas. Jiaolan notices suddenly that the door has closed and apparently Lao Li has decided that he isn't needed anymore and made himself scarce. Smart man, Jiaolan thinks, and wishes he could have done the same. But he still hasn't figured out how to get off the bed. Da Qing is still growling, that noise that says he's one sudden move away from attacking someone. Da Qing. the black-cloaked envoy says, and the noise from the ching stops like someone had flipped a switch. Jiaolan can still feel the black-cloaked envoy looking at him. He's never stopped, not for one moment. My... Jiaolan is stuck, the ching says, his voice suddenly plaintive. He's never transformed before and he can't get back. Well, for all the briefness of that explanation, it does capture Jiaolan's current problem. He's your master. There's something about the way the black-cloaked envoy says that, but Jiaolan isn't exactly in the state to ponder the intricacies of the black-cloaked envoy's inflection. Yes, Da Qing says, hissing at the black-cloaked envoy like he can't quite stop himself. Will you help him? Da Qing demands, almost angrily. That seems to give the black-cloaked envoy a moment's pause. Of course. Of course I will. And all at once, all the sternness has gone out of the black-cloaked envoy's voice. And then right there, in front of Jiaolan's disbelieving eyes, the black-cloaked envoy shifts, until there's a very small black dragon hovering where the black-cloaked envoy had just been. How did you know? Jiaolan wants to ask Da Qing, because Jiaolan sure has never heard a single word about the black-cloaked envoy being a dragon. There aren't that many of them around anymore. Jiaolan has never met any. If people knew about this, Jiaolan would have heard something, right? The next thought he has, as he looks at the black dragon, is that he was right about the flying thing, because the black-cloaked envoy is quite clearly not falling down to the ground. Why is the black-cloaked envoy a tiny dragon? Shouldn't he be bigger? A small sound escapes Jiaolan, and he huffs in frustration as it still doesn't resemble any kind of words. The tiny black dragon flies closer, and then dips down towards the bed. Da Qing hisses once in warning, before slowly backing away from Jiaolan. Jiaolan's heart picks up its pace, his body tensing. The tiny black dragon lands gently on the bed in front of Jiaolan. I'm not going to hurt you, he says in a deep but gentle voice. Jiaolan makes an indignant chirp. How come he doesn't have any trouble talking? Okay, so maybe the black-cloaked envoy has been a dragon for a bit longer than Jiaolan, but it still isn't fair. The black dragon slowly moves closer, and Jiaolan tenses again. The other dragon makes this low rumbling noise that's really not that far off from Da Qing's purr, and Jiaolan finds himself relaxing just a bit, even as the black dragon moves closer. And then the other dragon is rubbing his muzzle against the side of Jiaolan's face, still making that soothing rumble. Okay, so maybe this is some kind of dragon greeting. It's a lot like what Da Qing does, so Jiaolan just sort of rubs back. The purring stutters slightly, before picking up again, louder than before. Then the black dragon pulls his head back, settling down on the bed, looking up at Jiaolan with criminally large eyes. Jiaolan huffs quietly and settles down too, his head flopping down against the bed and ending up just a bit too close to the black-cloaked envoy. The black-cloaked envoy bumps his head against Jiaolan's affectionately and then curls his tail around Jiaolan. Jiaolan has no idea how to feel about any of it, and he has the sudden urge to hide his head under his own coils, but that would mean actually moving, and he's still not entirely sure that wouldn't end up with him flopping around ridiculously before getting everything where he wants it to go. He doesn't need to do that in front of the black-cloaked envoy. Do you remember what it felt like to shift? The black dragon asks him suddenly. Jiaolan lifts his head a bit and then nods. At least that's a bit of communication he still has a handle on. Good, the black-cloaked envoy says approvingly. You need to find that feeling again. Jiaolan huffs. He could figure that much out for himself. I can show you. But you need to trust me, the black-cloaked envoy continues, ignoring Jiaolan's interjection. Wait, is that what the whole cuddling thing is about? Trying to make him comfortable with the black-cloaked envoy? Well, Jiaolan has to admit it's kind of working. He nods again. He thinks there's something like surprise on the other dragon's face. And okay, Maybe Drowlin isn't sure how far his trust extends here, but the black-cloaked envoy is trusting him with the fact that he is a dragon. He hadn't even hesitated, really. And Drowlin can at least try to reciprocate. Of course, he can't actually tell the black-cloaked envoy any of that. Drowlin makes a resigned little noise, and the black-cloaked envoy's tail coils a bit tighter around him. It should be weird, but it actually makes Drowlin feel a bit better. He looks at the black dragon and makes another firm nod. He can do this. And then, when he's back to being human and can actually talk, he'll figure out some way to convince the black-cloaked envoy to teach him about how to actually be a dragon. He can't just ignore that part of himself now. His mom wouldn't want him to. "Close your eyes," the black-cloaked envoy says softly, settling his head down next to Drowlin's head. Drowlin takes a long breath and does what he's told. He really wants to be able to talk again. The end.